Good morning. Thank you, everybody that came out to the Rooted Study on Wednesday night. I thought we did have a good time. We will have a good time every week, but might not be that good of a time because David probably won't play any more games. But this week will be more depth and more of actually studying what the series, what we learned the previous week in the series, and talking about it at our groups. But we'll still have some fun at the beginning. I hadn't decided who's playing games this week, but I have been watching Password to get more passwords to be given to them. We're going to continue our series today called Cultivate a Heart of Gratitude. And we're coming off what I believe is one of the best worship services we've ever had here at Cornerstone last week. And I say let's keep it going today. Holly was back there clapping and wooing, and no one else did anything for the first time. So she looked at her and Morgan looked at one another and was like, oh, whatever. So they're ready back there in the back. We just need that energy up here at the front. That's right. Today we're going to talk about how to develop a heart of gratitude. And I touched on it briefly last week, but we're going to dive more into it today. And really what I want to talk about is how to be grateful even in bad times. Because it's easy to be grateful in good times. It's easy to be thankful for your life. But when you're in a tough season, man, it's tough to look past the things you're going through to see good and see things that you can be grateful for. When I'm going through a tough season, I'll often look at pictures on my phone of better times and emotions that it brings back. So like this one right here, going back to our wedding. I know. I remember Randy giving his speech at our wedding. Right? You remember that, Randy? You did dance. Sarah's whole family remembers you. Who could forget you? This was one of my favorite places to go. It's the Outer Banks. I love the Outer Banks. I actually told y'all last week that mountains are my favorite place, but probably my favorite place is the Outer Banks. It's just to me, it's a different beach than the rest of our beaches here in North and South Carolina, and so I love the Outer Banks. Or how about this one? Man, when Elijah was born, the heart of gratitude that I had, and I think this is one of the first pictures, maybe. And if it is, nah, it's probably not one of the first pictures, but I was holding him very much like that, and those little beady eyes opened up. Sarah was still recovering, and so she wasn't even in the room yet, and those little beady eyes opened up and stared at me for the first time, and you talk about a heart full of gratitude. And looking back on that, it makes me feel full of gratitude. Seeing my grandparents and my parents hold Elijah and spend time with Elijah, especially my grandma. My grandma is 90 years old now, and I didn't know if she would still be around when I had my first child, and I'm so grateful, especially I just did her sister's funeral on Friday, and I was talking to somebody that was there, and we just talked about how grateful we are that our grandparents are still around to see their great-grandbabies. And, of course, seeing my mom and dad interact with him. And there he is already wearing a Ford hat when he was a baby, being a Ford man from the get-go. But I look back, and even now, there's moments where I just stop to think and enjoy that moment. And you'll hear about this later. I stop to think and enjoy that moment, being thankful that they are spending time with him. My dad's just smiling like crazy back there looking at that picture, I think. And then this is from a waterfall up in the mountains. So I did include the mountains in here. This is one of my favorite waterfalls. It's not a very visited waterfall. But when I look back on that picture, I remember better times. I remember good times. I'm grateful when looking back at these photos. The reason why I look at photos during tough times is because it will often create a perspective change within me that I need in a tough season. But you know, it's one thing to look back at pictures and to be grateful. It's a whole nother thing to look at your present situation, no matter how good or how bad it is, and to choose to be grateful. But that is exactly what we are called to do as followers of God. And this is what I hope we can develop during this series as we talk about cultivating a heart of gratitude. A heart of gratitude is always going to be there no matter what you're going through. So I'm going to pull back up the definition that we covered last week. Gratitude is recognizing the value that others add to our lives and showing our appreciation to them. And we talked about how gratitude contains both recognizing and showing. If you just recognize it, you might just be thankful, but you're not actually showing that thankfulness, which would be gratitude. And we ended last week by saying we specifically need to show our gratitude to God. So today, let's talk about tips to develop in a heart of gratitude. I've got three tips for you, and they are somewhat sequential. And we're going to be in Psalm 69 today. And I chose that psalm for a purpose. Because King David is going through a tough time. We don't know exactly when this is written. It was possibly written towards the end of his life. So this would have been possibly after the rebellion, after Absalom had turned against his father and tried taking over the kingdom. It had been after Saul had hunted him down. It had been after King David had committed adultery and murder. It was after a lot of what David had went through in his life. Yet, he is still going through a tough season. But, as you will see today, he is still choosing to have a heart of gratitude. So let's dive into it. My first tip for you today in cultivating a heart of gratitude is to embrace the moment. Embrace the moment. Been listening to a book here the last few weeks, and it's about church in particular. I think it's called Strategic Church or something like that. But one of the things they emphasize is that in services, in our worship gatherings, people won't remember the whole service 3 weeks from now. But they will remember moments from the service, from the worship gatherings that stood out to them. People remember moments more than they remember anything else. There's a quote by a poet that says, "We do not remember days, we remember moments." And how true is that? Going back to those pictures, wedding day moment that I remember was when Sarah walked down the aisle. If you've ever been married, you know on the wedding day, it's a blur the rest of the day. But time stood still when she walked down the aisle. That was imprinted on my mind. I can't remember the rest of it. I can't remember what we said. I don't remember what songs were sung. I don't remember anything of that nature. I do remember Randy's speech, so that's a moment. But I remember Sarah walking down the aisle. That was the moment. Or the day Elijah was born. I already told you what moment stood out to me. That was a blur of a day as well. But that when those big eyes looked back up at me as I was holding him, that was a moment. Last week, during the last worship set, when our worship team held that one last word of that verse for a long time, and then we began clapping, that was a moment. That was the moment that stuck with me all week this past week. And so when I say embrace the moment, what I mean by that is learn to embrace those moments throughout the day that you are grateful for. For example, I embraced those moments with Elijah. When we're playing, he's jumping on me or whatever, I choose to be in that moment and just stop to think how grateful I am to be in this moment with my son. See, we are really bad about focusing too far ahead or too far behind and not on the present moment. I put this timeline up here as we discuss this. Anytime we get our focus off of the present, going too far in the future or too far in the past, it can create anxiety, fear, shame, worry, and really overall a lack of gratitude. Which I think is exactly why Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, don't get your focus over here. Keep your focus here with whatever you're going through. So let's look at Psalm 69, and we're going to work through some verses here, starting with the first four verses. And you get a sense of what state King David is in, what is his mental state and his emotional state. He says this, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters, and the floods engulf me. I'm worn out, calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs on my head. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. I am forced to restore what I did not steal." So in other words, he feels like he's drowning. And the picture I have is actually going back to Peter drowning, calling out to Jesus to rescue him. King David is feeling this way. He's drowning. He's sinking in the miry depths. There is no foothold, nothing for him to put his feet on to come back up. And so he's calling out for help to the point that his throat is parched. He's worn out. He's tired. His eyes are failing for always looking for God. And then he kind of gets more deeper into the problem. The problem is that there's people who hate him. People who are out to get him. He says, "The people who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies and those who seek to destroy me." What is he focusing on here? I think he's beginning to feel fear of what those enemies could do to him in the future. Is his present very good? Nah. But I do think he's beginning to look a little bit too far ahead at what could be coming for him with all these enemies that are trying to take him out. And if this is later towards his life, he says, "I'm forced to restore what I did not steal." He did not steal the kingdom. His son stole the kingdom. And now David is having to rebuild the kingdom. So he's restoring what he did not steal. He's looking too much, he's focusing too much on his enemies and what actually they could do for him. And so because he is too focused maybe on the future, on the enemies coming to attack him, he is stressed, he is overwhelmed, he is worn out, and he is afraid. He could use a good dose of gratitude in his life right now. But it actually gets worse. Not only is David looking ahead, afraid of what his enemies could do to him, that they want to destroy him, but he's also looking to his past. He says in verses 5 through 12, "You, God, you know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you. Lord, the Lord Almighty, may those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me, God of Israel. May those who seek you not be put to shame because of me. For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. I'm a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children. Zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate, they mock me, and I'm the song of the drunkard." He starts off by saying, "God, you know my folly." In other words, you know where I have gone wrong. So if this is after he had his friend killed, after he slept with his friend's wife, then he is feeling some shame from his past. He is saying, "My guilt is not hidden from you. You know it." And then he says, I hope that people are not looking to you because of me, because I've done wrong. And then he says, "Shame covers my face." He's feeling shame for his past mistakes, and don't we feel shame for our past mistakes as well? Sometimes that shame from our past mistakes can cause us to not be grateful for the present that we are finding ourselves in. Not only that, but he is rejected. He says, "I'm a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children. His people in his kingdom mock him. The people in his kingdom sing a song about him, mocking the king. This is a man who is beat down pretty low. He's very aware of the mistakes he has made in life, and he's very aware of the shame that's coming with it. And so for David and for us, it's hard to develop a heart of gratitude when you feel covered with shame for your past mistakes. And while David doesn't say this, what I think David is probably feeling is a little bit like he deserves everything bad that is happening to him. And so when he is just so down on himself and thinking that he is getting what he deserves, what is he not going to do? Choose to be grateful for the circumstance that he's in. What King David needs to do is take a moment and embrace the moment that he is currently in, because the truth is he and you are awfully blessed today. If this is towards the end of his life, King David has won battle after battle after battle after battle after battle. And he's now the king of essentially a thriving kingdom. He has an heir in Solomon. He has access to everything he needs because he is the king. He is still greatly respected by many, and we're still talking about him today, so he was still remembered very fondly by many. Not to mention, at the very basis of it, he still has his life. He has a roof over his head, most likely. And for someone like David, he's lived in caves. He's been on the run, and it doesn't seem that that is what he's going through right now. He has to take a moment in this moment to look past the future where things could be going bad, or the past and the shame, and look in the present and choose to embrace the moment and choose to find things that he can be grateful for. For us, it's so easy for us to get focused on the future or the past. For me, I feel worry or fear for what is coming my way, or I feel shame for what I have done. But if we choose to live in the present and embrace those moments that God puts in front of us right then we can be grateful. Because at any moment, you have a lot to be grateful for. But sometimes you have to stop thinking about everything else in order to really realize it. Sunday morning is a busy time for me. So Sunday morning, I am making these slides. I am finalizing my sermon, and you can ask Zach. Sometimes I'll rewrite the sermon on Sunday morning. And so I'm focused on all of that. And I have not taken a moment like I should in a while during worship just to thank God for all he's done here at Cornerstone. Before the Riley family got here, I used to sit right there where John Davis is sitting, or I'd come and stand over there. And there's been so many times where I look back over who all's here and they're worshiping God, and I would literally tear up in the face. What I did was I embraced that moment. And it changed my outlook when I come up and preach. I feel grateful. Probably made my sermon better. Because I'm thankful for what God has given me. Yes, I'm thankful for what God has given me, but when you embrace that moment and it fills your heart like that, man, it's special. So take that moment with your kids or grandkids. Soak it all in. Take that moment at work to be thankful you have a job. Take that moment at home to be thankful you have warm water coming out of your shower or a roof over your head. I'll give some more examples later, because this next point, it kind of goes with it. It does go with it. The first one, embracing the moment, was about keeping your focus on the present. This one is about intentionally focusing on what you can be grateful for in the present. Because yes, we do need to focus on the present and embrace that moment, but some moments in the present still aren't very good. And that is simply when it comes down to willpower and a choice that you have to make. Are you going to focus on what you don't have in the moment, or are you going to focus on what you can be grateful for in the moment? Whether it be little things, and I'll give some example of little things that you can choose to be grateful for, or big things. We can be thankful in the moment if we choose to be. continue on in verse 13, there's a change in tone in David's psalm here. He says, "But I pray to you, Lord." So he's talked about everything that's wrong. He's talked about how he's feeling shame for his past. He's feeling bad for the past things he's done, and he's feeling worried about his enemies coming after him. But in this moment, he says, "But I pray to you, Lord." And then he lists three things here. "In the time of your favor, in your great love, oh God, answer me with your sure salvation." So as I was writing this, I didn't see this before, but as I was writing this, I thought about, aren't those three things always available to us? Isn't God's favor always with us every single day of your life, whether you realize it or not? We call it grace. It's God's favor towards those who don't deserve it. It's God's goodness towards those that don't deserve it. As we talked about last week, you deserve nothing. So you should be grateful for anything you have, and anything you have, the Lord has given you. Second thing is he's grateful for is God's great love. As I've said before, God will never love you more than he does right now. No matter what you've done, no matter where you're at in life, he loves you the most right now that he ever will. And you can't do nothing about it. And so you can accept his love and be grateful that his love is with you. And then, isn't his salvation always there? Isn't his salvation always there for us to accept? It's always offered. The chance for us to seek forgiveness of our sins, to repent, to turn to him, and to know that our past is wiped out. And that verse about forgetting what lies behind and marching forward. Sometimes we've got to put the past in the past and keep moving forward in the name of Jesus. David's perspective's changed. He's choosing in this moment to be grateful. And who does he turn his focus to? He turns his focus to the Lord. Every day, we need to intentionally focus on things that we can be grateful for. These can be the things that are always there, like what David did, or it could be small things that you choose to notice throughout the day that you're thankful for. Most of you drove here today in a car, or you rode in a car, or a motorcycle in this case. You realize you were, what, 6-7 feet away from meeting another car head on and being in a wreck and getting injured or possibly dying? Aren't you thankful you didn't meet someone like Randy on the road heading towards you? Or maybe it's this was me this week. Happened about every day. Walking to my cars. Our gardenia bush has tons of flowers on it right now. And it just, I caught a whiff of it as I'd walk by. And I was just, man, I'm grateful for that. Or maybe, I know for a lot of us, probably get amen here, maybe you're just grateful to have that cup of coffee in the morning. Amen. Maybe you're grateful to be able to have that caffeine to kick in to wake you up. You can take a moment every day and choose to intentionally focus on something you can be grateful for. But you have to take that time and you have to make that choice in that moment. So then, once you identify what you're grateful for, you got to express it in some way. And this goes back to the definition of gratitude. The first two were about recognizing it. The first one was about changing your perspective, getting in the moment. The second thing was about intentionally focusing on what you can be grateful for. But now we're in the second step of actually showing our gratitude in some way. And the reason why I included that in our definition of gratitude is because science proves that when you do something with what you know, it imprints on your mind and you're able to recall it better. It has more of an effect on your body, has more of an effect on your mental health and your emotional health. Scientists have studied specifically the act of writing things down. This is why you're encouraged to take notes. This is why in college they encourage you to take notes, or in high school they encourage you to take notes. It's because you're able to recall information better if you actually write it down. That's why we make you do fill in the blanks in our table gatherings, is because I know that it will help you recall it later. I actually had a cool idea that I need to speak to Elizabeth about, was having people take pictures of their notes and post in the comment section each week after a sermon, just to see, like, you know, what someone caught versus what, you know, they caught. And then, of course, if you have something personal, you don't have to post it. But if you write someone down that's messed something up, probably don't need to post that. Now, I would love it if someone wrote in their notes, "Avoid Randy on the road." That would be great. But there's different ways we can express our gratitude, and this one specifically is for other people. We can verbalize it. What do we teach kids at a young age? And it's to say thank you. Elijah says it in the cutest way right now. Thank you. Thank you. It's all one word. Thank you. He tells us, and he knows even at different times, he does it without prompting, but he does it exactly when he should be doing it. And so we're teaching him how to verbalize the gratitude that he should have in his heart. Maybe for you, and I want to encourage you to do this week actually. If there's someone who has touched your life in a positive way, write them a letter this week showing your gratitude to them. It doesn't have to be a long letter. You can write it on a note card, whatever. But express your gratitude to them for what they mean to you in your life. Another way of verbalizing it is tell someone else about what you're thankful for. I told Sarah Kaiser that I was thankful for Sarah Bailey and how great the baby shower was on Friday. I had not told Sarah that. I meant to tell her that this morning, so I'm telling her in front of everybody. I'm verbalizing it. You're welcome. I was not thankful you took a lot of my sermon time earlier. I said, we're putting a timer on Sarah Bailey next time she's talking. I've got a timer. Sarah Bailey needs a timer. No, it was a short sermon anyway. But verbalize with someone else what you're thankful for. I'm going to give an example of Eleanor. Many of you know Eleanor. Many of you know the things that Eleanor's going through right now. She's not been able to be at church on Sunday mornings, but she is planning on coming to the Rooted study. And it was just so good to see her on Wednesday night. Just really good to spend time with her. And it was so good for her to be back. But, you know, she called me probably a month or two ago. And she said, "I just want to thank you." And I hadn't heard from her, you know, for a little while. And I was just like, "For what?" And she said, "For just what a great church you pastor." And I said, "Well, I'm thankful for them." I said, "That's not me, but I'm thankful for them, and I'm thankful for God working in them." And she proceeded to tell me about how the women's group has reached out to her, about all the people that's checked in on her, all the people that's stayed in contact with her, and she just was full of gratitude. And I thought, here's a woman who's going through a tough time, and she's choosing still to be grateful. And if you know Eleanor, that's who she is. I was actually thinking last week when I said 90% of us probably are not as grateful as we should be. Eleanor was excluded from that 90% because she's the one person that I can think that I feel like is a very grateful person. She's someone that verbalized it. She might not have verbalized it. I'm sure she did verbalize it to other people, but she verbalized it to me, and that meant a lot to me to know that our church is being the church. Another way for us to express our gratitude, and I've already said it, is write it down. Keep a gratitude journal. I would think a gratitude journal would be similar to pictures, in that I look back at those pictures and I'm grateful for those days and those moments. What if you wrote it down and you chose at the end of the day to be grateful, or like you choose to go back at the end of the day and thank God for those moments that you've had throughout the day? But also, the purpose of writing it down is that it's impressing that on your mind more deeply. You're going to have the opportunity to do exactly this week in your decade groups. I think it's funny to call them decade groups because I think like decades, you know, like dancing, like 70s. And then we also were laughing back there that we just aged everybody up here, you know, and even some of the ages were wrong. And so, but she was trying to make sure everybody knew that. What I've asked your decade group leaders to do is to send a message out to each of the people within their decade and to ask them if they want to be part of a group text message or a Facebook group message. And in that group message, over the course of the next week, and I probably would prefer for you to actually do it through the end of this series, so it's two more weeks after this, write down or type into that group 3 to 5 things that you're grateful for each day. Tell the group what you're grateful for. There's a guy on Facebook that does this. I shared this a few weeks ago, and he'll just put silly stuff on there. Like when it was WrestleMania in April, he's thankful for WrestleMania. So Adam would write that one down for sure. He was thankful for coffee that morning. Just small things. But just choosing to be grateful in that moment will change your perspective. And so I want to encourage you, and your group leaders will be reaching out to you, decade group leaders will be reaching out to you this week to see if you want to be included in that group text message, which would probably be used in the future as a way of communicating with the group, so you might as well. But in that group text message, I'm encouraging everybody each day to share 3 to 5 things that you're grateful for as we try to develop that heart of gratitude. Now let's talk about ways to express our gratitude to and for God, and these are ways that only apply to Him. The first is through prayer. We don't pray to other people, we pray to God. But the same concept applies. You're verbalizing it to other people. When you're praying, you're verbalizing it to God. You don't have to actually say it, but you're saying it in your mind. Another cool thing that you can do is write down your prayers. That, once again, goes back to the writing and presses it on your mind. Keep a prayer journal. Prayer is a spiritual practice that is primarily focused on communicating with God. We understand that. But what it also does is it creates a specific space for God to work on us. When you're praying, where is your focus at? Your focus is on God. How much of your day is your focus solely on God? I like to think that we think about God throughout the day. But when you're spending time praying, what you're doing is creating this time throughout your day. You're creating this space to focus solely on God, and God may just want to tell you something in that moment that you should be grateful for. Not only that, but God may be changing your very heart that has turned selfish and inward and may be ignorant of the things that you can be grateful for. He might be turning it back outward so that you can see the blessings that He has given you in your life. When we encourage people to practice spiritual disciplines like the devotionals we're asking you to do through the Rooted series, that's not because we want to have religious laws that we want you to follow. We want you to do those things because you're taking time to be with God. And it's that time with God that transforms us. It's that time with God that sanctifies us to make us more like Jesus. Prayer is included in that. But also, as we ended with last week, we're going to end similar today. Worship is one of the ways that we can only worship God or show our gratitude to God. So look at David, King David, King David. In Psalm 69, 29 through 32, he says, "But as for me, I'm afflicted and I'm in pain. May your salvation, God, protect me." And then he says this, "I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or more than a bull with its horns and hoofs." And what he's referring to there is actually making a sacrifice at the temple. Then he says, "The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live." David says a lot right here. He first reminds us he's afflicted and in pain. He doesn't feel like worshiping the Lord in the moment. He doesn't feel good about his present circumstances. He doesn't feel good about what the future holds. And he's still feeling shame for his past. But in this moment, he says, "I will." He's made a decision. "I will praise God's name in song, and I will glorify Him with thanksgiving." He's choosing to be thankful in the moment, and he knows that that worship that he's offering to God, even when he doesn't feel like it, is going to mean more than an ox or a bull that he sacrifices at the altar, then moves on. And then he says this, the poor will see and be glad. Why is he including the poor in this? Well, I think back to Jesus' term where he says the poor in spirit. In the Beatitudes, he tells about blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they will see God. Your worship can positively affect other people. Let's give an example of last week. I do know situations people are going through, but you might not. I don't know this, but I guarantee you, because of your worship and because how into it you were and because of even Randy's obedience to God to come right up here before I could even get started praying to seek God at the altar. And I don't know what Randy was praying about. I don't know what Randy was saying, but I know Randy moving warmed my heart and probably encouraged you to move however God was leading you to move. Your worship positively affects other people. And there's people in this church right now that are poor in spirit. And your worship could lift them. Your worship could help them be glad in this moment and choose to be grateful. The way you worship God could cause them to seek God and for their hearts to come to life. And so now, what I want us to do is to take this opportunity to worship God. And so the worship team can come on up. The whole premise of this sermon was about developing a heart of gratitude where we can worship God even in the bad times. Even when times are tough. Even when we don't feel like worshiping Him. We still can express our heart of gratitude and we still can choose to be grateful in the moment. And so anytime I give a message, I don't like just give you knowledge. I want you to apply it. So the way we're applying it first to people is to work with your decade groups this week. But to apply it with God, let's worship Him again today like we did last week. And I want to read another psalm because I think this is where David's at a little bit in Psalm 69. But I want to read these specific words from Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forgetting all of His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. What does he do in those verses? Same sort of thing he did in Psalm 69. He chooses to look at what he can be grateful for. He forgives all of our sins and heals our diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion. And he satisfies your desires with good things. That's a lot to be grateful for, isn't it? Yet for some reason, even in this psalm, David's struggling with that. Because those first few verses, what he is doing is he's telling his soul to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, every part of who I am, even the parts that don't feel like it, praise His holy name. Don't forget His benefits. Praise Him because He's deserving of it. Choose to be grateful in that moment. No matter what you're going through, no matter how you're feeling, no matter how bad life looks right now, praise the Lord, oh my soul. So our worship team, every week during this series, they're going to mash two songs together. One song every week is going to be gratitude. The other song is going to be whatever goes with the sermon that week. And this week is 10,000 reasons. And if you know the beginning of that song, it's bless the Lord, oh my soul. And the whole premise of that song is we have more than 10,000 reasons to praise His name. Amen. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that today. If you will, stand to your feet and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you in prayer this morning, Lord. And I know you know every heart, every mind, every situation. You know everything that everyone in this room is going through. You know what those sitting at home are going through. You know that what those who are listening at a later date, you know what they are going through. And Lord, I know you love them. I know that you have been good to them. I know that you have given them the very breath in their lungs, and I know that other people have been good to them, and that they, in this moment, have a lot to be grateful for. And so it comes down to a choice. Am I going to choose to focus on all the problems in my life? Am I going to get focused on how the water seems to be above my head? Am I going to get focused on the enemies that are after me or what the future holds? Or am I going to be weighed down by the past, by the shame and regret that I feel? Or am I going to choose in this moment to be grateful and to praise you? As King David said, not forgetting all your benefits. Not forgetting all the things that you have given us and how good you have been to us. So, Father, I commend my soul and I commend the souls of these people. Bless the Lord. Help us to speak to our own souls today. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Because you're deserving of worship and praise. So, Lord, as we worship you, move our hearts and minds however we need to respond. Help us respond.